This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Ah, can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
And a good Saturday morning to you, and good luck to the participants in this weekend's Troops and Tusk Wild Hog Tournament to benefit veterans. It's going to be held at the Delcrum Shrimp Festival Grounds. You might recall last week, Director Derek Poor was running down the details, and if you want to, you might want to stop by there for some of the festivities. There's live entertainment, food, auctions, fun jumps for kids, and lots of hogs being brought in for the cause. And, of course, the big day is tomorrow. 8 a.m. is when the gates open. They'll have the weigh-in and the awards. Today you can open up at noon to 8 p.m. I'm going to have some live entertainment, lots of food, and lots of stories about those feral hogs that were bagged. Speaking of feral hogs, if you want to witness some thermal imaging nighttime hog hunting, well, you can find it on this week's Bayou Wild TV episode called Tusks, Thermals, and Thrills, as in Will the Thrill Clark, on a nighttime hunt for the hungry in Pecan Island. Check it out. You can find it on our website at BayouWildTV.com. You can stream it there or find a station near you. Apparently, the Louisiana Department of Wildlife and Fisheries will be looking for a new leader. Reuters News Service is reporting on a rumor that I heard a couple of days ago that Secretary Madison Shahan, the top leader of the Department of Wildlife and Fisheries, will be leaving for a federal job with Department of Homeland Security and the Office of Immigration. So I guess we'll get at least an interim, if not a permanent replacement. However, no official announcement has come down, but I got to trust that the Reuters report is accurate. Well, I've been asking you duck hunters for your undivided attention for this week's show. This morning we're going to have some guests, biologist Paul Jakubczak and David Brave. They're sounding the alarm, which many of you waterfowl hunters have been witnessing over the last few decades, and that is a decline in the duck populations. I'd like for your participation. Do you agree with their observations and, more importantly, their suggested remedies? And you can do that by texting in our studio text board, 504-260-1870. A couple questions I'll be asking you. Rate this past season on a scale of 1 to 10 in your area. And also, what is the breaking point when you would give up duck hunting? Would it be never? Would it be a 30-day season, three-bird limit, 45-day season? We've been enjoying 60 days and six ducks, and a lot of people think that's way too much. What do you think? Also, the Pearl River WMA is expected to close any time now. When that river reaches 16.5 on the gauge, they shut the gates, and I was passing through there just yesterday on the way back from a quail hunt, and the Pearl River is extremely high right now, and I'm sure they're going to be shutting it down. Also going on today, boy, busy Friday, Saturday, huh? Chef John Foltz's Boucherie. That's at White Oak Estate and Garden, so we'll have a live report from one of the exhibiting cooks, David Hubble. And in our Bad Boys of the Outdoor story, I'll tell you about the Tri-Parish Deer Poachers. And, of course, we'll check in with our usual suspects, the marina operators, charter captains, get some current fishing reports for you, plus our coastal marine forecast from the National Weather Service. And the winds calmed down a little bit Offshore, they're going to be 8 to 15, which is about 2 to 3-foot seas. On the interior lakes and bays, 6 to 12 knots out of the northeast. There's a lot of muddy water from all those high winds. Tomorrow, you're looking at 100% rain. You might want to scrap it unless you like to fish and hunt in the rain. Northeast winds, 12 to 20, 2 to 4-foot seas offshore, 10 to 18 knots on the interior bays. Average tide range, 1.3, and my, how the Mississippi River has jumped up. It's at 11 and continuing to rise. All right, stage is set. We're going to be back and kick it off with Robbie Campo, taking down the Campo's Marine in Shell Beach. And then we're back with a couple of biologists, David Rave and Paul Jakubczak. We're talking waterfowl and the decline of ducks this morning on The Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. Yeah, you can have some big, fat, plump shrimp, but if you throw them into dirty water, cold water, they're not always going to work. Let's talk to Robbie Campo and see what we can salvage out of this week. Robbie, you probably didn't get a whole lot of fishermen down there, so not many reports given the weather conditions we had. How was it?
Well, I tell you, Don, we had a boat that came out on Monday that was able to get out to the Long Rocks. And they picked up some sheephead and some drums, and it was a charter that was people from out of town. Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, it was pretty dead around here. We faced with our typical February weather, which is not always good. We had to deal with that all week. But yesterday was a game changer. Yesterday at around 12 o'clock midday there, winds diminished and it got down. It got slick. It was dead calm. No wind. We got some people in from out of town who fish here all of the time. Took off and went behind the dam. Picked up a few redfish behind the dam. Then they shot out to the Long Rocks yesterday. And, man, it turned out to be a great second half of the day. They wound up filling the box up with with sheephead and black drums and some redfish. So they were able to save the second half of the day. It's just that, it's this time of the year, Don, and we just don't have a whole lot of people fishing, due to the, February weather. And that's basically what we had was this week here was, February is a month. It's either going to be nice or it's going to be really, not so nice. And that's what we had all week, not so nice weather.
Well, I think we got one day of it, and that's today. It may pick up where it left off yesterday afternoon. People can put some fish in the boat. But tomorrow they're calling for 100% chance of rain. So it looks like the latter part of the weekend is going to go downhill. But today, if it's your day, man, probably worth going out there, particularly if you like those mixed catches of bottom fish.
No, well, that's what I'm saying. So, look, today's going to be your window of opportunity to get out and go get a little bit of fishing in. And, Long Rocks is a spot that you could always go out there at this time of the year and get something to tug on the line. So, like I said, if you're all going and, you don't have to leave really, really early because, let it warm up a little bit, book the left at the bridge and come on down and see us.
Want to remind people traveling through the parish, the crew of Nemesis is rolling today.
Yeah,
I think 1 That's, o'clock I, and it's was, on Judge Perez, right. Huh?
Yeah, and that's one of the next things I was going to tell you is we do have the Knights of Nemesis Parade today in Chalmette. So if you're trying to get out of here, you'll have to go up Judge Perez to right by Gerald's Donuts and cut back on Jacob Drive and go through the back and hit Genie Street at 510. Or you could go out St. Bernard Highway all the way up to Jackson Barracks and cut across and go, get back on Claiborne going out.
Or you could pull off the side of the road and catch the parade.
Road, just watch the parade. Yeah, and
wait for it to pass. Yeah.
Yeah, and there's that.
It might even be throwing some fishing lures. It might be a matrix.
You never know.
Off the floats.
You just never know. So,
Robbie, yeah. Go ahead.
No, I'm waiting on you.
I was going to say to close it out, we're talking about the decline of duck hunting. How did you rate your hunters, the Biloxi Marsh? It's been getting worse and worse, it seems like, every year. A couple bright spots here and there. But overall, what did the duck hunters say about Biloxi Marsh?
Don, it wasn't good, man. It's just you know, it's I don't look. I got people here from Arkansas. The people I'm talking about that's from out of town, and they're having the same problems there. You know, they just don't. I don't know. We're not getting the amount of ducks. So if they're not getting them in Stuttgart, Arkansas, or you know, the popular places that, you know, some of the duck capitals of the world, you know, what are our chances of having a successful season? Some people did very well. Some people didn't do so good. When you go to this Biloxi Marsh, Don, you got to ride, you got to look. And that's one of the only things that saved some of the duck hunters this year, is because they know, you know, you got to go ride and look. You just can't go jump in a pond and, you know, hope to blast them. But difficult, very difficult. I think we're getting less and less ducks every year. I don't know what to say or why, but it is what it is. And, you know, I hope somebody's got some answers to bringing some ducks back, you know, but I don't know if it was bird flu took out a bunch. I'm not sure what the problem is. Don, I know, you got, if you want to kill ducks nowadays, you got to go at least to Kansas. You can't kill ducks around here no more. It's just, and it's getting worse and worse every year. And why, I don't know, but hopefully somebody can figure it out.
Yeah, well, it's a question of are there really as many ducks as they say they are, and they just don't come here, or are they really having a miscount and they're overestimating what the actual population is? Well, we're going to talk a lot more about it. We're not going to solve it this morning, but we can certainly talk about it. And thanks for your report and your input, Robbie. We appreciate it.
Yes, sir. Talk to you next week, Don. Bye-bye.
That's Robbie Campo, Campo's Marina in Shell Beach. All right, we come back, we'll get the discussion going. A lot of you duck hunters are up early with us this morning. That's not a problem for a duck hunter. This is late for a duck hunter. And I got some comments about the subject we're talking about. We'll share those with our audience and also talk to biologists, retired biologists, Paul Jakubczak and David Rave. They've got some theories on what the situation is and why we have a decline in ducks and what the possible remedies might be. Back with them right after this pause. You're listening to The Outdoors with Don Dubuque, Radio.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, we share stories that are funny, strange, heartbreaking, and above all, true.
I myself have been married for 56 years. Unfortunately, to four different women.
It turns out the people I was looking for all my life is what you people would call nerds.
Follow and listen to The Moth on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Network. Now that another duck season has come and gone, we're talking about, let's take a look back, and I want you to text us and rate this past season from 1 to 10. What do you give this season? And also, what would it take for you to stop being a duck hunter? What restrictions on bag limits or number of days would you finally just draw the line in the sand and say, that's it, I'm out? Text us at 504-260-1870. You know, we started off the beginning of the season with the Louisiana Department of Wildlife and Fisheries population estimate. And here was what I read. The 2024 November survey estimate of 510,000 ducks in Louisiana's coastal region and the Little River Basin is again the lowest on record. Did you hear that? The lowest ever on record. 12% lower than last November. Record low estimate of 584. It's 37% lower than the most five-year average and 58% lower than the most recent 10-year average. If that's not a trend, I don't know what is. And we're going to explore this morning. For the rest of this hour, we're going to talk about waterfowl. We've invited a couple of retired biologists, David Rave and also Paul Jakubczak, to join in with us and give us their thoughts on what the problem is, what brought it about, and how we can turn it around. Paul and David, thanks for getting up with us and talking about this very important topic to a lot of people in Louisiana and other states, too.
Thanks, Don. Appreciate you having us.
If you would, let's start off by talking about what exactly is the problem.
Well, I guess I could start. This is Dave talking. To me, the problem is that they're just the duck population across Canada has declined severely, and the biggest reason for that is that habitat conditions across the entire Prairie Pothole region have declined. Habitat. The amount of habitat, both including both grass and wetlands, has declined over the last 50 to 60 years by 60 to 80%. So that I think is the major problem. And along with that decline in habitat comes a decline in the birds that rely on that habitat, which are ducks and geese.
Well, habitat is one thing, but what other factors contribute to this decline we're seeing?
Well, Don, this is Paul Jakubczak, and one of the major factors that most people realize is that the limit has been 60 days and six ducks for 28 years now, and there's been no effort at conservation by the regulators. They've just gone with the same limit when habitat, nesting conditions, predator populations have become an all-time highs, and the nesting success is not enough to sustain and increase the population. Therefore, we have these record low population levels and harvest levels.
So why does this continue? If everybody is, giving the anecdotal evidence, they're seeing it out there, declines. You guys are biologists, and you've certainly noticed it. The departments are noticing smaller fall flights. Why do they continue to go with the most liberal seasons available through law?
Well, this is Dave. There was about 1996 or 1997, there was a new regulations package put in place by the Fish and Wildlife Service called Adaptive Harvest Management. And Adaptive Harvest Management was set up basically to try to manage ducks in a more scientific way. And the scientific way that they use is they use these set of models that looks at breeding habitat and breeding populations. And from the breeding population, basically from breeding mallard populations and from breeding and from the number of wetlands on the prairies in Canada, they determine what the fall flight might be. And then they also determine what the regulations package is going to be. And the problem with those models is that they don't take into account many of the things that are changing in Canada, at least that's in my opinion. What do you think, Paul?
I agree with you. The models are based to make the maximum sustainable yield rather than the maximum duck population. So they want to kill the most ducks, not produce the most ducks.
All right. Are you saying that they're doing this with erroneous information based on false numbers, or are they doing it intentionally? They know the numbers are low, but they don't want to give up the maximum yield.
I don't believe that there's any intention to try to hoodwink hunters or get rid of or do this in any kind of a intentional manner. I think the biologists in the Fish and Wildlife Service are all dedicated people. I just believe that the data that's coming into the models is not as informative as it could be. For example, the breeding population survey, which the Fish and Wildlife Service flies every year, they end up with a number that is then plugged into these models. Well, over the last 40 years, some things have changed on the prairies, you know, the amount of habitat, but also the sex ratio of birds like mallards. The sex ratio of mallards has changed. When the original people came up with the May survey, there was an assumption that 50% of the ducks up there, 50% of the ducks were going to be males and 50% of the ducks are going to be females. Well, anybody that's hunted in the last 10 years can tell you that there's a lot more drakes out there than males. Well, that hasn't really been accounted for. And so when they do their estimates, they count the number of females, and then they count the number of males that are sitting by themselves. And some of those males are then assumed to be paired males. Well, if you have a much higher male ratio now, so there's lots more drakes out there than females, you get this increase in population that's just not true.
I got you. So bad data in, bad data out. Gentlemen, stay with me. Hold your thoughts. We're going to come back, and I'm going to share some of the audience comments with you, what the hunters out there are saying. And also we're going to hear from Josh Goins, and his opinion reflects what a lot of duck hunters believe, that it's not so much the population is down as it is the birds are not migrating as they have historically. We'll be right back. We're talking ducks in decline this morning right here on The Outdoors with Don Dubuque, Radio Network. All right, this portion of the show, we're talking about the duck decline. We have retired biologist David Rave and Paul Jakubczak with us with some opinions on why that came about and what some of the remedies are. We'll get to those a little bit later on. Looking at my text message board, I've got people rating this past season everything from a 0 to a 1. The highest so far was a 4. As far as what we'll do to stop hunting, this one says, I drew the line in the sand this year. So many bad reports, I didn't even take my gun out. I deer hunted all season. I am a diehard duck hunter. A couple of them said, as long as they're there, I will go. But what is your breaking point on ending duck hunting? Our text line is 504-260-1870. Another common topic, a comment, is about short-stopping. And Josh Goins, who had created the Flyway Federation, sent us a little bit of an audio message. We're going to play that now and let you listen to it and comment on it right after this. This is Josh Goins on shortstopping.
Hey, this is Josh Goins. I'd like to share some thoughts with you. The federal government passed the Migratory Bird Treaty in 1918. It was passed to protect the North American bird population from market hunting, baiting, and the loss of critical essential habitat for the population to sustain itself. The MBTA allowed the birds to be regulated and managed under federal protection, pulling the power from the states. Over 100 years has passed now, and the North American bird population is yet again facing major threats. Conservation is a great thing, but I see so many videos, posts, and articles using that word so loosely. Uncle Joe and Grandpa Jim with their punt guns going out and baiting up an area to shoot a mess of birds to feed and provide for their families, aka market hunting, doesn't compare, in my opinion, to what is currently happening in the flyways today. States now utilizing bait to attract and hold large populations of birds in small areas of land labeled as conservation and refuge systems. Private landowners utilizing the same practices operating large-scale hunting operations for profit, all in the name of conservation. The North American waterfowl population is a natural resource and should be treated as such. Seriously, what is the difference between a market hunter baiting up an area in the early 1900s and killing off 100 plus birds in one weekend, selling for personal gain, and the large-scale hunting operations we have today on state and privately owned lands utilizing federal funding programs to plant, flood, attract, hold, hunt, kill, and sell the natural resource in drastic numbers day after day for an entire waterfowl season, all in the name of conservation? What's the difference? Somewhere along the way, we have lost the true meaning of conservation, and I can tell you what it's called: modern day market hunting. Thank you.
And that was Josh Goins with comments. A lot of our listeners are reflecting that same thing. We're going to take a quick 10-second pause for our stations to identify, and we're back with Paul Jakubczak and David Rave, retired biologists, and get their thoughts on the effects of shortstopping. We'll do that right after we let our local stations tell you who they are and where they are along the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. Well, Paul and David, you heard what Josh had to say. A lot of people, believe me, a lot of people are texting me with the exact same theories. What are your thoughts on this practices that are being allowed now? Is this a major contributing factor to overbagging, or is it restricting the normal migration patterns of birds? Or both?
Well, this is Dave. I guess I don't disagree with what Josh has to say. I agree with him that that flooding areas is with flooded corn and flooded other things is baiting. I would say that the same goes up and down the flyway. When we flood rice fields in Louisiana, I believe that's a very similar situation, and a lot of it is dragging in birds, and they are killing birds over what I would consider baited fields. On the other hand, I'm going to give you a few numbers, and let's just look at some of the numbers from harvest, and let's go back to 1999. If we look in Minnesota, the total duck harvest in Minnesota in 1999 was 832,000. In 2023, 439,000, about 50% fewer. In Iowa, in 1999, the harvest was 210,000. In 2023, 93,000, getting closer to a third. If we go to Illinois, in 1999, 350,000. In 2023, 203,000. At least a third to two-thirds break. Arkansas, 1.8 million in 1999, 722,000 in 2023. And in Louisiana, 1.9 million in 1999 harvested. In 2023, 544,000, about a quarter of the number of ducks. So what I'm saying here is that the number of ducks harvested hasn't increased as you go to the north. It's decreased all the way up through the entire flyway. And so in my opinion, although, yes, I agree that flooding fields and killing birds with flooded fields is a serious problem and it's baiting, the real issue is that there's not as many ducks as there used to be.
Paul? Exactly. Understood. All right, guys, stay right there. We're going to come back after this break, and we'll talk about what you think needs to change and also some comments on the new pintail strategy that U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service is proposing. We're talking with retired biologist David Rave and also Paul Jakubczak right here on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. I want to thank all you listeners for your comments. You're texting in on our topic, the decline of ducks, to 504-260-1870. We're talking with Paul Jakubczak and David Rave, a couple of very experienced biologists who have spent basically their lives and careers managing waterfowl throughout the flyway. Guys, before we get into the pintail strategy and what you think the remedies are for turning this around, tell me about the impact on the seasons that we have and the way we hunt now, some of the gear. What impact do you think that has had on the over-harvesting of ducks?
Well, Don, this is Paul. I think there's been a lot of improvements. I think one of the major factors is mojo ducks are especially effective on immature ducks, and that's a factor that's never been figured into the regulations and the limit. And the surface drives, cell phones, all kind of communications, and improved decoys, improved shotguns, improved shells, all that has contributed to additional harvest of ducks. But before we move on, I want to mention one thing. I've been working on this, I call it the duck demise, since 2017. And I've contacted U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, Wildlife and Fisheries, and anybody else that would listen, and told them I thought there was an over-harvest going on due to the current declined conditions of the breeding grounds. And I have not been successful in one little bit. And if the regulations people, the flyway councils and the U.S. Fish and Wildlife don't want to change for 28 years, I don't think they're going to change the baiting and the commercial guiding regulations, as mentioned by Josh Goins. I mean, I've been beating my head against the wall since 2017.
Well, you know, what are the options? You know, I mean, should states like Louisiana, maybe some others, withdraw? I believe that was done decades ago over the goose population when Louisiana actually pulled out of the flyway.
Well, Don, it would take some very courageous members on the Wildlife and Fisheries Commission to do something like that. One little example, the mallard hen harvest has been two ducks forever, two mallard hens. Right now, the mallard hen population is in serious decline. One researcher actually stated that the mallard population has collapsed. So the Flyway Council just got through meeting, and they haven't changed a thing. They've even increased the pintail population to 3. On a pintail population that's depressed.
Well, let's talk about the pintail. Let's talk about the pintails. You know, there are certain areas, and I've been privy to one particular spot in Stuttgart that was just, if you only went and hunted there, you'd say, oh, there's too many pintails. I also experienced a hunt just this last season down near the mouth of the river, and that's all we had coming in was pintails. But on the scale of things, pintails really, do they really warrant going to 3 per day?
Well, Don, this is Dave. You know, we went to adaptive harvest management in about 1997. I looked back at the breeding population for pintails, and in 1999, the breeding population of pintails, according to the Fish and Wildlife Service, which is about the best data that we have, I don't know how good it is, but at least we have that data, they said that the breeding population was 3.6 million. In 2023, which was 2 years ago, the breeding population was 1.98. So that's over a third lower than it used to be. And that's during an entire period when we've had one and two bird bags and mostly a one bird bag. So if the population hasn't recovered during a period of time when we have a one bird bag, I personally don't see how it's warranted to go to a three bird bag.
What's the argument on their part if you've got a diminished population and the data shows it? Why would you recommend an increase?
Well, the argument that I have heard is that they don't believe that hunting has an effect on ducks, and this is an experiment to try and find out whether hunting actually affects duck populations or not.
Hmm. Well, it could be a very costly experiment gone awry. All right, we got one more segment to go. When we come back, guys, I want you to talk about what needs to change, both on a political level, a flyway, a departmental, and even on an individual basis. What do you think needs to change? We'll be back with Paul Ryakovczak and also David Rave, a couple of retired biologists, and we're talking about the decline or the duck demise, as Paul puts it, right here on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. All right, we've been talking about the duck decline with retired biologists David Rave and Paul Ryakovczak. We've pointed out some of the what could be flawed data on part of the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, possibly overbagging, some practices that restrict and alter the migration flights. What do we need to do to change this, guys, on a political level, maybe a federal level, a statewide level, and an individual level? What are your thoughts?
Well, Don, this is Paul. I think that what needs to happen is there needs to be some fundamental adjustments to the breeding population survey. There's some faulty data being inputted. You know, a computer model is only as good as the information put into it, and if the May ponds are not what they're supposed to be, and the mallard male to female ratio is 80% to 20% when the model says it's 50-50, there's some basic fundamental problems with the population. If the population's elevated artificially, the AHM model or the harvest management model is skewed in the wrong direction. What we need is some fundamental changes to the BPOC. being population survey, and also there needs to be some conservative measures put into the regulation. What do you think, Dave?
Well, I would say that you're absolutely right on the modeling information. We need to get better data, which is always the case with models. But I do think that I would like to personally see some regulations changes. One of the fellow that we listened to the video or the tape on, Josh, he mentioned the Migratory Bird Treaty Act. When the Migratory Bird Treaty Act came in, well, you know, we quit hunting ducks on January 15th, and that was a political move to change it to the January 30th. When that happened, the northern states decided that they needed their extra time, and so they moved the season in the north from around the 1st of October back to closer to the middle of September. So I'd like to go back to do some regulation changes to set the seasons at the same time. And I think, personally, I believe we need to have lower bag limits and particularly fewer days during the season for a little while to see if maybe we can get some duck recruitment.
So how do we get those things accomplished? Is it strictly a matter of political pressure, constituents contacting their elected officials and their representatives, or there's been talk of some possibilities of lawsuit? Could it get that serious?
I think it could get that serious. Go ahead, Paul.
Well, for 28 years, nothing's changed, and it's going to take some serious political influence. Just to give you an example, I'm in contact with a lot of hunters. And average hunter, the guys that have been around a long time, can tell you there's not near the ducks there once was. They all expect in the season to be cut to 30 and 3 or 40 and 4 or whatever. And it's just not happening. And I can't explain it to them. And that's why we're on this program right now. We need to have some of the serious politicians that's involved in this start asking some questions in Washington, D.C. about why are we being so ignorant about duck populations.
Is it possible that there is some fear that it will reduce the number of hunters, which reduces the amount of funding that goes into waterfowl management?
Well, Don, with no ducks, there's going to be less hunters. I can promise you that.
That's for sure.
And all these people that are selling shotgun shells and surface drives and all are going to be hurting because the duck population is going down, down, down. You said it at the beginning of the program, the worst aerial survey in Louisiana in history.
So where's a good place for the guy listening to this program that is a concerned duck hunter? He's willing to tighten the belt in support. Lower bag limits, maybe more restrictive on the number of days. Where does he start? Who does he contact?
In my opinion, you start with your state natural resources conservation leader. So whoever the state conservation leader is, send them a text, give them a call, tell them that you're tired of not seeing any ducks and you'd like something done about it.
What about the conservation organizations? There's a couple of big ones out there. They're continent-wide. Yeah. Can they help?
Don, this is Paul Jakubczak. That's one of my biggest things that I'd like to see. You know, the leaders in conservation, Ducks Unlimited, So Said, and Delta Waterfowl have lobbyists in Washington, D.C., and they have not, in my opinion, done one thing to help conservation of ducks. They could do it. They could. And they have a lot of members that donate a lot of money in the whole United States. And they're letting this duck population go down the tubes. And they could help.
I think maybe they have a false fear that if they come in support of fewer days and fewer birds, they would lose membership, where it could be just the opposite. That would actually help them gain members, people who would support that. Guys, we're out of time. It has been a very interesting half hour. Really appreciate you guys taking the time, and especially your passion for waterfowl. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Don. I appreciate it.
Yeah, I appreciate it too, Don. Hope it does some good somewhere.
We certainly hope so. All right, when we come back after the top of the hour break, we'll get to some fishing reports, bad boys of the outdoors. Let's talk about replacing the Secretary of Louisiana Department of Wildlife and Fisheries. Who do you think will be the next choice? We're back to do that right after this pause, where you're listening to The Outdoors with Don Dubuque, Radio Network.